you know, sometimes we say, don't teach your kids anything they have to unlearn when they grow up. Let them learn the right way. Let them learn that goodness, that kindness, that joy, and let it be part of them. And then they in turn will emulate the same thing.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the show. My name is Rick Nusky. It's wonderful to have you with us again. And just want to take a second to say thank you very much for all of your support. I've been reading through the feedback and it makes all the difference knowing that the show is making a difference for you. Now, talking about making a difference, on today's call, I'm with the wonderful Sandy Sharamataro. Welcome to the show, Sandy.
Thanks, Rick. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely a pleasure. Now, I was just talking about getting through your surname prior to the call. Interesting surname. Absolutely love it. I come across some really interesting ones.
It's Italian.
It's Italian. Fantastic. Now, where are you calling in from today, Sandy?
I'm calling in from Michigan. I live in Sterling Heights, which is a suburb of Detroit.
Fantastic. So. Thank you very much. Now, we always like to spend a bit of time talking about you prior to getting into the nuts and bolts of what you do. So just for context for everybody who's on the show today, we're going to be talking with Sandy. She's the author, founder, and president of the Good Eggs Foundation. And we're going to be talking about raising awareness of the work that the Good Eggs Foundation is doing that helps make children's lives just that little bit better. Now, before we do any of that, Sandy, And by the way, I love the website. Lots of great stuff to talk about. Tell us a little bit about life for you at the moment, you know, where you live and what you like doing when you're not working.
Well, I live in suburbia, you know, it's a metropolitan Detroit area.
Yes.
So I also teach high school, which keeps me very, very busy. But I'll we have one more week left and then we'll be breaking for summer. So looking forward to that. I spend the rest of my time really working on the Good Eggs. So very busy.
Very busy, absolutely.
Eggs by evening, yes.
Now, I know full well that people like yourself, leaders in your field, obviously balance your workload with all of the wonderful work that you're doing. Do you get much time to have downtime? And how important is that for you?
It's very important. And lately, I've been learning to just say, no, I need to step back, which has helped tremendously because, you know, you get going, and before you know it, time is gone and you really haven't relaxed and then I'm not sleeping well. So I've gotten much better with taking a break and taking a time out or a step back.
You know,
very important.
I look at my own life and the life of those who I love around me and I look at their daily routines and I'm wondering what does a daily routine look like for you? Are you an early riser and what does it entail?
Yes, I'm an early riser. I'm up at 5 a.m.
Wow.
And I get to school probably by 6:45. I'm about 40 minutes away, okay. 40 minute drive. Yeah. I'm a morning person, so I like to be in the zone. You know, I like to get in there when there's not many people there yet and get organized and, you know, really get into the zone for my first hour, which starts at 8:00. So,
yes.
Then I teach all day long till 2:45. And teaching is very busy. You know, there's other meetings, there's clubs, there's lots of other things besides just being in the classroom, which is our main focus, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But there's lots of other things to do. And by the time I'm done, another 40-minute drive home.
Home, yes.
Exhausted. But then I take a break. You know, we eat, do whatever. And then I start on the Good Eggs Foundation.
So tell me a little bit about caffeine. Do you need caffeine to get through a day like that?
I don't drink caffeine.
No.
No, I'm not a caffeine person.
Are you a teetotaler?
Nope.
No.
Not at all.
Wow.
I might have, if I do drink a cup of tea at night with maybe a biscotti, maybe, it's decaf.
Yes, so. Fantastic. Now, being Italian, I grew up around Italians myself, and there was one thing I can say is that I never went home hungry. Nuna would always say, Rick, you can come and you can visit, but you are not leaving unless you have a full meal. Even though I've just eaten lunch at home, I had to eat again.
What matter? Right? That sounds like a no-no. Yeah.
Absolutely wonderful culture.
I like to cook. I love to cook too. So I just made a big eggplant parmesan. So It's fun. It's
Fantastic.
good.
I'm loving this conversation, Sandy. Thank you so much. Now, I can see a lot of books behind you, and we're going to be obviously talking a bit about your books that you've created for the Good Egg series. But tell me, do you like reading books yourself?
Love it. Love it. Always have loved books since I could begin. I used to make up words in the page before I could even read. Yeah, I'd make up a story as I saw the pictures. My mom would laugh because all the kids thought I could read. And then she said, no, she's just making it up right now. I was
Oh,
probably,
excellent.
two or three. And yeah, so I've always loved to read,
Do you
always.
love audiobooks? What do you think of audiobooks?
I haven't really tried an audiobook yet.
Okay, yeah.
I do love listening to podcasts, but I haven't really, I love to read. So it took me a lot to transition from an actual book to a Kindle. So I do love my Kindle now too.
So you seem to me as somebody who really enjoys fiction. Is there a space for non-fiction in your reading?
Yeah, I do. In fact, I read a lot of nonfiction with my job with school. I read all kinds of nonfiction. And I read things like memoirs and things that people have written about their experiences. I read a lot of social justice books.
Yes.
So yeah, I do a lot of nonfiction reading.
Tell us
Well,
a
I
little
do.
bit about your educational background, because I think it's really important for the sake of context that we get a bit of an understanding of that side of your life.
Sure. So I went to it's a university here called University of Detroit Mercy. It's a Jesuit college and it's also run by the Sisters of Mercy. And I have a Master's of Arts degree from there with a concentration in religious studies
Fantastic.
and contemporary religions.
Now, I
Yeah.
wonder, is that has that been have you brought over any of that education into the work that you're doing nowadays? Does it play a role?
In my teaching? Yes, because I teach at a private school. It's an all-girls school. And I am the chair for religious studies. I'm the department chair there.
Oh, excellent.
So, yeah.
Obviously,
So,
then.
definitely. It fits right in. Yeah.
Well, it's probably a really good segue to talk a bit more about the books. I mean, you've obviously started the Good Eggs Foundation, and you have a passion for writing. I guess let's go back one step and let's talk about specifically, I guess, the genesis for the Good Eggs Foundation prior to talking about the books that you've created.
So,
Where did it start from?
I had always wanted, like I told you, I always loved like reading and English was one of my favorite subjects in school. And in elementary school, I have to credit my third and fourth grade teachers because we always had spelling words once a month. And both of them always would give us this assignment every month. Here's your spelling words, kids, write a story with them. And I love it was my favorite assignment. I couldn't wait to get our next batch of spelling words. So I always wrote stories. We had to read them out loud. When I read them, the kids would laugh. So I thought, oh, people like to hear these stories. Okay. So I just really loved writing them. And I wrote a few little plays in elementary school. So I always knew I wanted to write, but as you grow up, life gets
Oh,
busy,
yes.
life's in the way, as you say. And finally, when my children were grown, I said, I am going to sit down and write that children's book. I wanted to really, really write one. I wanted to give it to the world and make it about being good and goodness. I didn't put any religion in these books, though, because I wanted them secular,
Yes.
just to, appeal to everybody. And then you can adapt them any way you like, but it's just simply universal values about being good. So I ended up writing the first book. Took me 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And I wanted to base it on a school year
Yep.
because I love school. So they start in September and they go all the way through a whole year to August. So once a month, they learn a different virtue in book one, like about understanding and forgiveness and generosity and gratitude. They learn 12 different virtues. A little child situation comes up that kids can relate to. Real simple situation, but they learn a lot. So after that book was done, I knew in my heart I wasn't done with the eggs because I loved creating these characters and they all have egg in their name and their teacher's name is Miss Poach and
I love
troubled child's name is Benedict.
it.
And anyway, so it was just so fun. I said, I'm going to take them around the world. So I wrote book two, The Good Eggs Travel the World. And in fact, one of the chapters, they go to Australia.
Oh, very good.
They had a great time. So I took them all around the world and they learned different cultures and language and landmarks and history, and they create relationships with other eggs around the world. And at the end, they learn that, hey, we're all the same. You know, we're all human beings. We all want the same thing. We all want to just be heard and loved and understood. And, you know, if we all work together, we can achieve that. So they learned that at a young age. And they came back. So that took another year, another 12 dozen chapters. And I still wasn't done. I said, all right, one more, one more. I'm going to take them back home and they're going to learn about community service. So they're going to put that into practice. So book three is six chapters, a half dozen, but they're twice as long and they help children. They help the elderly. They go to an animal shelter. They go to a food bank. They put on a health program and they go to a nature center. So they learn all the aspects of a community. And all the while in when they're doing community work, they connect it back to book two of the kids that they met around the world. And those kids do the same community work in their own communities. So it was really fun. So it ended up being a trilogy. I intended for one, but it morphed into three. And yeah, but I love it because now I have a series and it teaches like, you know, virtues, diversity, and service.
Yeah, that's
So
fantastic. I really appreciate
yeah,
you sharing.
it's really been fun.
I can absolutely tell that you love the work that you're doing, and it's certainly making a change. Now, if you had to choose one virtue for yourself, which one would stick out for you as being probably the most important, or not the most important, but just sticks out?
I'm gonna say, you want one from the book?
No,
Because
well, one you believe sort of
okay.
stands out in today's society as being probably up there with the most important.
I think kindness.
Kindness.
I would say kindness because, you know, it's easy to be kind. Sometimes people are so self-absorbed in their own worries, and it's easy to get worried and it's easy to get lost in our own troubles. But sometimes when you focus on somebody else, it takes you out of that. And just to be kind to someone because you don't know what other people are going through either. You know, they might be having a rough day or, you know, like we always say, somebody cuts you off on the freeway and you're like, ah, you know, what if, you know, maybe they're rushing to the hospital because they just got a call that their mom had a heart attack. You know, you don't know.
Yes, you don't
Maybe
know.
they're not, but maybe they are. Give them the benefit of the doubt and, you know, don't let it ruin your day. So just, you know, kindness can go a long way.
Thank you. I want to explore this a little bit more because I'm pretty sure there's more books in you somewhere. And I
Well, it's
wonder.
so funny you said that because I've been thinking about that lately.
Well, one of the thoughts that I had, Sandy, was given the world that we're living in at the moment and all of the technology and the challenges that we have, and kids seem to be almost omnipresent online, if for lack of better ways to put it. Is there something to learn from technology for our younger generations?
Well, yes and no, I would say. You know, technology, I think it was meant to be used one way, and I think maybe we're using it a
Another.
different way. Like this is a great way, the great use of technology. But then, you know, there's always that negative side. And I see it just in the students I teach, you know, young girls, it really affects their self-esteem. So we try to teach them. In fact, we just had an assembly today on cyberbullying and how it affects young people. You know, their brains aren't formed yet. Not till 25 can they fully make a decent decision, really. And it's getting ingrained with their brain. They grow, and it really does affect their self-esteem. We see suicide rates going up. We see, you know, pornography, all kinds of stuff increasing because of the negativity. So I think we can do a better job maybe trying to use it for good. Now, again, kids, you know, they're going to get a hold of it and they're going to sneak it. And, you know, I mean, but if we try to instill, that's the hope of my books is that if they read them at a young age and they incorporate them into that who they are as a young age, that it grows with them and they automatically grow into a good egg. You know, they grow into a kind, loving adult and they'll make better decisions, you know, if it's part of who you are.
It seems to me that, well, it's very clear to me that you've taken a leadership role in this. How important is leadership for parents and carers, around people that are young people that are not so advantaged as others?
Yeah, it's everything because I know when I was growing up, right, who you look up to, your parents, and my parents emulated such goodness and kindness and generosity. And I think that you look at what people do, you know, kids are at the mercy, I guess I could say, of adults, right? They have really not a lot of choice. So they're going to look at what's modeled for them. So modeling is everything. It's they're so impressionable. And you know, sometimes we say, don't teach your kids anything they have to unlearn when they grow up. Let them learn the right way. Let them learn that goodness, that kindness, that joy. And let it be part of them. And then they in turn will emulate the same thing. But it's rough when you have situations, you know, where maybe kids can't experience that. So anything that's why the foundation grew out of the books for me. I wanted to put all that into action and to help underserved kids and kids that maybe don't have, you know, as much. Because you know, Rick, where you're born, it's a roll of the dice, right? Where you can be born anywhere. We don't have a choice where you're born in. And you know, we came up with some good roles, but some kids did not
Did
get such
not.
a lucky role.
No.
So I feel that if we're so lucky that you know, we could step up and help those who are not.
See, mindset seems to play a huge part in all of this. How important is working with young children? And I guess you talked about him being impressionable earlier on. Is there a certain age bracket that are more impressionable, so you should maybe focus on them now and start tuning their mindset to be more, I don't know if that word is positive, but looking
I
forward to the
mean,
world.
if you look in, you know, like psychiatry will say the first 7 years, right? The first 7 years. But I mean, obviously, it's all throughout. They call stage seven the age of reason, right? They start really making right and wrong, knowing what's right, knowing what's wrong. So that, of course, those very, very young years and all the preschool research has shown, you know, how important those early years are. They're the building blocks. And then you can, you know, you get more complicated as the child grows older. I know even again with the high school girls, you really have to model that behavior. And you can tell, like they write you notes and they thank you for things. So it does work. The young ones, they will definitely watch every move you make. So, you know, it's really important to bring them up in a positive environment.
See,
And that's why
what you do matters, doesn't it? Because I know with my own children, I have a 7-year-old, he's always looking to me for approval, just that bit of approval, that bit of a bit of love shown. It doesn't take much, does it?
No, it doesn't. And that's all they need. They just want that time with you. They want to know you love them. You know, they want to know you hear them. They want to, well, they matter. You know, sometimes we're like, yeah, I'm busy, I'm busy. But if you just take those few minutes, you know, look them in the eye and really get on their level, makes all the difference.
Now you talk about getting egged in Indian literature. I'm wondering if you could just expand on that a little bit, just so people understand what they're going to find when they get to your website.
Sure. So what we do, so again, I once a month, as the books are based on once a month, as it goes through the year, once a month, I egg an organization or a family that might need some help. So I call it an egging. So they'll get a plaque that says you've been egged, you know, in a good way, obviously. So
I love it.
I will seek out, you know, an organization, or sometimes people ask me, can you help this person, or can you help this family? Or I'll call up, like the last month we or egged what's called Macomb Foster Closet over here, and they help families with foster children, and they were totally in need of some baby monitors. So I said, you know what, you've been egged, and we've got them 10 baby monitors that
Oh,
they needed
wow.
for their family. So I had somebody call me, and there was a mom who lost her job, and she was devastated, and one thing she had to do was take her little girl out of dance lessons. But her little girl loved, loved, loved to dance. And I called her and I said, you've been egged. We're going to put your little girl back in dance lessons. And so she was so excited. So little things like that, can make a big difference.
Yeah, you know, it's the as small hinges swing big doors theory, isn't it?
Yes.
Now
So
you've
done
done a
over 30
lot,
paintings so far.
30 already, wow. And I can imagine just some of the joy that you would feel personally. It must be occasionally transformational for the people that you work with. Tell us a little bit more about some of the experiences that you've had.
Sure. One of my favorite ones was a family was getting a new start in life. They had fallen on some hard times and they were getting a new house through another organization. And I said, what can I do for them? They said, well, the kids are going to need, because I wanted to decorate their bedrooms. And they said, the kids are going to need that. So I called the mom and I said, there were three kids, two boys and a girl. And I said, tell me what they like. The little girl wanted her room in hearts. One of the boys loved video games. So we did his room in that. And then the other boy was more like a teenage, like 12, 13-ish. So he just wanted something more mature. So we did
Of
like plan.
course.
It was cute though. It was nice. Everything matched and cute stuff on the walls. So when we went there, we just totally, put the mattress pads on, the sheets, the bedspreads. We put the things all on the walls. We had decorated pillows. And the two younger ones were just jumping on the beds for joy. And I mean, they were just so excited. Look at my bed. They were jumping. I just like, that's all you need is that smile on their face. I mean,
Of course,
it was
yeah.
just great. That was one of my favorites.
And you can just add them up, and this is, I guess, the mission for you, isn't it, really? Because you have a mission statement, but at the
I do.
nuts and bolts of this whole journey for you and your team is just to making that little difference, isn't it?
That's it. I mean, my dream would be to do big eggings. I'd love to put in playgrounds for underserved schools, and I'd love to do bigger eggings. That's the hope with growing this business. With selling, the book sales go toward the
Of
foundation.
course,
So
yep.
that's what the hope eventually would be, to get the books as big as they can be and do. My big dream would be to do like I don't know if you've ever seen a Sesame Street Live,
Yes,
the show they put on for kids,
yep.
like the Good Eggs Live, and
Oh,
pack the theaters
wow.
and have all those proceeds go to the foundation so that I could do, well, I would love to retire from teaching and do this full time, so that would enable me to do that.
Are you well
And
on
then
your way?
do big eggings. I could do big eggings, but you know what?
Yes.
Little ones are good too. But I mean, that would be my dream.
Well, you've obviously got plans. What's happening in the next year that you might be able to share with us?
Well, in the next year, we got a couple of fundraisers coming up. We got one at Cannoli Festa. So we're partnering with a bakery, and they give us about 40% of their proceeds for a weekend of selling cannolis.
Oh,
And they
wow.
do 10 different flavors. So it's really fun. So we had that last year, and they're going to do it again this year. We're also going to partner with, it's a local hardware store over here. And he helps a local charity every 3 months. So the one that he's helping actually has a literacy program. So we're going to partner with him to provide books, and he's going to purchase all the books from us. So that's going to be
Oh.
a nice fundraiser too. We have a book show coming up in a city here called Ann Arbor, Michigan. And we're going to do a book show there. So those are some things that are on the horizon. I'm
Yeah.
also part of something called Share Detroit. That's a big conglomerate of nonprofits. And we have a local ball field over here. They have a baseball game coming up that's also going to be like a fundraiser night.
Very good.
So
Love, love, love the work that you're doing, and it's not even work for you, isn't it? Do you have any
I love
opportunities to network across the nation?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, with the rest of the nation? Yes. I have some contacts in California. And I'm working on growing that actually. I have another contact in New York City. And that's something, so we're pretty much local Detroit right now, but I do want to, those are other plans for the future to branch out locally, nationally, globally.
It's all happening, that's for sure and certain. I love the fact that you've called it the good eggs. Now, I know, from I guess a fundamental level what that means, but where did the choice for the good eggs come from? Was it from your writing?
It was just from my head, and my heart. So I wanted, like I said, the first book to be about goodness. So I'm
Yep.
thinking, oh, good, what could I
Good,
do?
good.
Good, good in the title. And then it like just came to me and I go,
Came to you.
oh, and I'm going to make the characters eggs. And then I just kind of ran with it. I said, there's going to be three boys and three girls, and they're going to be non-people colors. You know, they're just going to
Yes.
be blue, green, and pink, and so that they don't, you know, have any connotation that way.
Of
And
course.
have everybody kind of get along. And then we always got to have the, you know, Benedict, like I said, is the problem. But he learns, you know, you see him grow and learn, because I think there's a little Benedict in all of us, right?
So I'm never going to eat Eggs Benedict the same way now. You know that, don't
you?
Yeah,
there you go.
It's always going to be planted in my mind that,
there
good
you
eggs.
Go.
Now, tell us a little bit about the actual foundation. I know that we've got a website for it, and I think it's important to expand our conversation a little bit away from the books and actually towards more of the foundational stuff. Would you mind sharing?
Sure. So like I said, you know, I do the eggings once a month. And that's been really easy to find places. I thought that might be more of a challenge, but actually it's been quite easy to find places, which is good and bad, right? Because it's easy. I can help people, but then, oh my gosh, all these people need help. But, you know, I'll look even on the local news when the broadcast is on. And even if there's a story there, I'll look it up and say, okay, what can I do for you? You know, I need a July egging or an August egging, and I'll look up places and see, you know, whatever their need may be. Next month, we're going to egg. There's this place here. It's a Macomb County Rotating Emergency Shelter. And it was a shelter that moved like from church to church to house the homeless.
Yep.
And they finally got a permanent place. And the permanent place is only for women and children at the moment. So they're in need of lots of kid shampoo and baby wipes and toiletries like that for the kids. So we're going to get a whole bunch together and bring it over there. That's going to be our June egging. So that's coming up. I'm going to be starting a newsletter for the foundation.
Oh, yes.
In June, maybe I can put you on there, Rick.
Oh, I'd love that. Thank you.
Okay. And we're going to be starting that next month as well. So the first 3 months are going to be like a short little teaser newsletter, just kind of explaining about the foundation. And then September, I'm going to start highlighting people around our area that are doing good in the community. So I can focus, you know, on highlighting other people as well.
Yes.
I have a podcast for kids.
I was going to ask you about that.
So I'm already up to chapter 7 in book 1, and 8 will be done soon. So it's the same as the book. So kids can journey through the book. You know, they can be coloring while they're listening, because sometimes it's a good way to get them off of a screen as well, to have them listening and following the lessons and the adventures that the eggs are getting into. Just audio.
Just
so
audio,
it's fun.
Yep.
Yeah, there's music and sound effects. And then I give a little short teaching at the end for them.
Absolutely. You know, like, to, I guess, the bow tie on the end.
Yeah. Like, hey, why don't you try this today? You know what? Maybe ask a friend at school who's lonely to sit with you at lunch, or, you know, something. I give them a little blurb, a little challenge at the end of each chapter.
Absolutely. Loving the conversation. You know what? If we can make a child smile, there's nothing more vibrant and beautiful than seeing happiness and love coming through. And it's a real credit to you, the things that you're doing now. If somebody wants to get their hands on these wonderful books, where can they buy them?
They can go right to the website, and there's a link to our Amazon page.
Easy.
So they're on Amazon. Click, you know how great that is, and they just come right to your house.
Yes, fantastic. That's I like it nice and easy like that. So tell me a little bit more, please, in terms of the charitable part of the foundation. If somebody wants to get involved, contribute, help out locally, all these types of things, what are their options?
Okay, so they can again go to the website, and there's a contact link. And if they go, they just click on contact, and everything comes up. You know, what do you want to know? And there's about 10 different choices. There's donate. There's a donate tab there if they would like to do that. There's, you know, a book sheet that it's like a media sheet.
Yep.
They read, and then there's the purchase button there that takes them to the Amazon page. The books are available in Kindle, paperback, and hardcover. So there's three different choices there. Everything is on the website, and they can check it out.
And that's it. Fantastic.
there.
Well, importantly, with all that being said, where are they going to actually go to find you? The
Would you?
URL, the website address.
Oh, I'm sorry. The actual website is, I'm sorry, www.thegoodeggs.org.
There you go.
So
There's no surprise that you've got the good eggs in
the good eggs, yeah, and make
there.
sure it's plural because sometimes people put egg and then they're like, I can't find it. So you
Oh.
need to make sure it's plural, thegoodeggs.org.
Well, there you
Yeah.
go. If anybody who's on this call today has had as much fun as I have spending time with Sandy, you're going to want to reach out at thegoodeggsplural.org and get involved. Do what you can, contribute if you like. And there's lots of different opportunities, lots of different ways that you can do that. Again, that website is thegoodeggs.org. No matter where you see the call today, you're going to be finding the links back to Sandy and all the wonderful work that she is doing. And with that being said, Sandy, thank you so very much for spending some time with me on the show today.
Well, I truly appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.